Well, joining us once again for his weekly chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Hello, KB.
Good morning, Darren.
How are you?
Well, we had the most... the weather this down here is most peculiar. We had the most horrendous thunderstorm, sheet lightning, Christ knows all going on last night.
Dear me.
And the rain coming down like steroids. And it carried on till early this morning. Now the sun is shining, people are walking around in shirt sleeves. yeah, it does get tremendous problems with your wardrobe, you know, you don't know what to wear.
Well, if you're in Leeds at the moment, you'd be wearing a Macintosh because it's still raining, has been for 2 days. Never mind. Let's start with some really positive news, KB. More listeners than ever are listening to Radio Yorkshire, according to the latest set of Radar figures.
Well, congratulations, I must say, to all concerned. First of all, thank you, of course, to all our listeners and viewers for being loyal, but congratulations to all the staff involved, because it's a result of your tremendous hard work and high-quality content. And I believe there was a little bubbly celebration last night.
Well, I can't possibly comment on that.
I think Billy's sports bar's taking went up last night. Anyway, they were the orders to Sam Bridges, so that if you disobeyed the orders, you must all be thirsty. But if you carried out his instructions, then you sure had a very boozy night, and thoroughly deserved, and well done.
Well, thank you very much, KB.
Because you also had another obstacle to overcome, because, as you know, we had to move our provider, which transmits our programme, out over Yorkshire, which caused a certain amount of disruption. But we still increased our wage over the first run we had, which is fantastic. Now looking at 72 over 71. Not a very big increase, but it's an increase, and it's a big increase compared with... We lost some of the areas where we communicate with. So, well done, and let's move on. And I believe we've overtaken Minster FM now.
So I believe,
which
KB.
Itself a great achievement, because Minster FM, as the name suggests, is has a much wider spread than digital. We're on digital. So, once again, well done to everybody. Thanks very much to all the loyal listeners. And now start looking forward to TV Yorkshire, to which you'll complement Radio Yorkshire. And I gather the trials for that are going very well.
Very well indeed, yeah. People can log on now to tvyorkshire.co.uk and see some of the content that's up there already. Lots of sport, lots of entertainment, lots of bits and pieces for people to get in and enjoy. And there's a great launch competition as well to win an Xbox One and a copy of FIFA 16. All you need to do is retweet one of the @TVYorkshire tweets and make sure you follow TV Yorkshire on Twitter, and you'll be put into the draw. And that closes on the 20th. Of November. Now, KB, let's move on to other subjects. Let's start with Leeds United. Of course, Leeds United take on Blackburn tonight. That's a game live on Radio Yorkshire on DAB with Mark Wilson and Greg Abbott. But again, it's been a busy old week. There's been a certain amount of articles coming out about Massimo Cellino. And interestingly, he's not too sure who Lucy Ward is.
Well, I find that difficult to... The trouble with Massimo, he remembers things one day and forgets them the next. Simply, I think, because he hadn't got anybody decent around him, and he's doing too much himself. And you can't run a big organisation like Leeds United single-handedly. You need good lieutenants, unfortunately. He has a lack of them. I mean, Andrew Umber's stood in last time. He was likely to be suspended. But Umber's, in fact, was an investment man. He had no previous experience of running a day-to-day affairs, running a business, which is very important, attention to detail. He lost Adam Pearson for reasons which are still got question mark over. And there you are. But I happen to be aware, not only know who Lucy Ward is, he should do anyway, but she's actually attended a meeting in his office at his request some months ago, before she got sacked. So, doesn't make sense. and the club's in a turmoil. I don't quite know how you take a manager of the club at the bottom of the league and appoint him to run a club, to run a big club with aspirations of promotion to the Premiership. Should be fun tonight. I think we're going into it hoping for the best and fearing the worst. But, I mean, now, of course, Salino's got this yes-gained misconduct charge over him. But the real problem is, I wonder who's advising him. He changes his lawyers, and they don't seem to have any great knowledge of the background of the cases that they're sorting out. I mean, Lucy Ward, you've got Nigel Gibbs, who's suing for wrongful dismissal because he got sacked on side by McDermott. You've now got the fitness coach who's also been fired and he's suing. But the real problem, the side effect about this, which people sometimes don't realise, is that once you get a reputation for being a bad employer, whether it's true or not, it's then very difficult to get quality people to come and work for you. The Sunderland found out when they were having a great number of problems trying to get a manager. And Sam Allardyce took it because of his age, and he only wanted a short-term appointment anyway. But with a club like Leeds, you need people to come and devote their lives to it. Not just earn a few bob for a few months, or a few weeks in some cases. And that's the club struggling for it. It's worrying. And I don't know who Massimo is going to get to stand in if he's unsuccessful with his appeal. Because you should always plan for the worst, even though you hope for the best. And the game tonight ain't going to be easy. Leeds versus Blackburn. Blackburn were once a big club. They're now struggling. And they're a point below us. I'm looking at the league table as we speak. Leeds 17, Blackburn 18. Not a very happy situation. But we'll certainly add to the challenges.
We certainly will, KB. Just looking at some of the other results around the region this week, there's a lot of cup upsets in the League Cup with some big names going out. Arsenal going out to Sheffield Wednesday, Manchester United out to Middlesbrough, Liverpool.
Well, the United one, they're showing the penalties this morning. I couldn't believe it. Rooney was a very poor one, but there are two other very soft shots. I mean, the way you hit, you don't try and place a penalty, you hit the bloody thing as hard as you can. So the speed of the ball deceives the goalkeeper's eyes. But two of them were hit very gently, very softly, and the keeper had no problem in saving them. So I couldn't believe any scored one out of five. But so that's the real upset. What's good, still good about English football is the number of small clubs, relatively speaking, who are in the high echelons and doing well. I mean, Bournemouth, whoever thought they'd come from near bankruptcy to win the championship last season, and now they're holding their own, albeit down the lower leg, but they're still holding their own in the Premiership. And the money they've picked up there, were able to totally rebuild the club, invest wisely, and get in a proper foundation for the seasons ahead. And on top of that, of course, you've got Leicester, you've got Watford. It's looking good. Southampton. It's nice to see the small hometown clubs doing so well, particularly against the multi-billionaire owners of some clubs. They don't know what they're doing. Don't think about football, just throw money at it, which, as we're seeing, doesn't always work. So that's the fun of the cup, and that's the great thing about these knockouts. You can get a one-off and give small clubs a chance to shine in the spotlight for a few weeks until the next round.
Well, talking about something that's in the spotlight, once again, FIFA and Sepp Blatter, KB, who's suggested in an interview that there was an agreement in place for Russia to host the 2018 World Cup, even before the vote took place. So, I mean, we've always thought that things were, you know, more corrupt than they were, and a bit of a fix at to
you know,
FIFA.
You've got the
it's even worse.
The suspended president admitting it was all arranged. So that was illegal. It was fraudulent. It's corruption. And I agree entirely with the English FA looking for damages, if necessary, through the international courts. But I was on the committee of our World Cup bid. At the same time, I was chairman of Wembley Stadium. And, in fact, I knew it was going on quite well because, if you remember, we had a sort of a travelling group of representatives of the English FA going round the world making their presentations. And the leader of that group was Tony Banks. I knew him because he was a Chelsea fan. He also is sports minister. And, in fact, he stood down from the sports minister to devote his whole efforts to our World Cup bid. I think it was with Bobby Charlton. And they asked for a meeting shortly before the vote took place. And they said they would suggest that we pulled out because the vibe they were getting was that we hadn't got a chance. And we debated it. But I argued successfully that no, we should go to the end and make sure we were in the vote because then we'd know who our friends were. We knew who had promised to support England, and we see who voted for England. In fact, in the event, I think we had one vote as well as our own. So it was a fix. But again, the number of FAs have promised their undying loyalty, and at the same time did it to two or three other countries as well. So that I've been campaigning against, speaking out against FIFA for 20 years. Of course, they're being crooks. But the trouble is, there's so much money washing around football, and we have these World Cups. I mean, FIFA drain money out of the host countries. I remember, as I think I said before, I go to Australia, South Africa every year, and I was there just after the 2010 World Cup was over, and the amount of money that was taken out of South Africa. The money that the South African government wasted on building stadiums, and I think they built six, which are hardly used at all now, could have probably housed 500,000 black people, black families, who are living in rickety tin shacks and with no proper sewage or electricity or running water, which you see on the way from the airport. It's just disgraceful. Funnily enough, and I know this because my former PA is an Asian who lives in Trinidad. She knew Jack Warner, or knew of Jack Warner, and she told me on the telephone a couple of years ago, we were talking about things, asked about Warner. He said, well, anything he wanted, he did actually put money into the villages. Little schools did have pictures. So although he's clearly a rogue, at least he apparently fed some of the money back into the grassroots. I don't think we can say that about any of the others. And the other thing about, I remember, in the South African World Cup, there was a game, a semi-final, I think, being played at Durban, and there was a big furore because they closed Durban Airport because there were so many private jets there that they totally clogged up the whole of the airport runway and parking areas. And people had to drive, I think, from Johannesburg or Pretoria, which really upset the so-called great and good, who weren't used to travelling on commercial airlines or being driven in cars, even if there were chauffeurs and limousines. Ugh. The good that money could have done around the world. It's just disgraceful. And it will keep unravelling. I'll keep unravelling. I wish I had a contract where somebody paid me 11 years, $1.3 million or dollars, 11 years after I'd done the job. Could only just remember to send the bill in. So much for Mr. Platini. No, it will unravel, but hopefully, now that we've got governments digging in, And you don't need the FBI on your track, that's for sure, because they cross all borders. Eventually, it will all unravel, and hopefully, from the ashes of FIFA and UEFA, a new world system will evolve, which really will do football what it deserves.
Moving on to other news, KB, and what tax credits have been in the news.
Oh, sorry. Must tell you, the latest on David Haig.
Oh, right, yes, of course.
Sorry. He's due to be released on the 16th of November. He, if you recall, he appealed against his conviction. That appeal was held in very short order and dismissed. So the original judgment stands. Rather bravely, but I think foolishly, the Sheikh offered him a pardon, which he declined. He declined on the grounds that since he wasn't guilty, there was nothing for him to be pardoned for. I thought that was a bit foolhardy, because he should have taken the pardon, got out, then conducted his campaign from Britain, where... better hope of getting justice. But there you are. He lost his appeal. He's been found guilty, and he's being thrown out of Dubai on the 16th of next month, when hopefully he can then start telling his real story.
Yeah, we certainly look forward to that, KB. And as we were just saying on the other news, tax credits, KB, lots of talk about this. Government lost a vote, of course, earlier on, and they're coming under a lot of pressure to confirm whether 3 million people will still lose money after their delay in their proposals, of course, for tax credit reform.
Yeah, but Dan, what I wonder is, where do all these figures come from that are so glibly tossed off by the politicians? Who shows the calculations that 3 million people will be worse off? Will they? And we hear these stories. If you listen to the Labour Party daily programme, which is called the Victoria Derbyshire Show on BBC News, people come out and trip out these figures, and it's also one-sided. And it's now got this situation, so because now Mr Corbyn started it, whereby they read brief extracts of letters from a very unhappy or disillusioned or starving resident in the MP's constituency. And I remember watching the lady on the Derbyshire show, and she was in her early 30s, very well spoken, very smartly dressed, and she just had her sixth child. And as she was having the sixth child, her marriage broke up. Now, as she said, you know, they were happy together and blah, 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 and they had six children, had a 60,000 income, joint income, and they had this, that, and the other. But now, of course, she's on the breadline. But I thought, well, hang on, just hold on a minute. Isn't the father still contributing to the kids' poverty, upbringing? And then you read this week that one in five of people under the so-called poverty line are smokers. Well, can't they give up smoking? And then, of course, you remember White D of Benefit Street fame on TV, who spends her time in Magaluf partying away. And another lady who had nine children, well, she obviously wasn't a lady, who said she was entitled, she wanted 10, she was entitled to 10. And all single parents, single mothers. But where are the fathers? And why aren't the fathers paying towards the family expenses? I'm afraid I'm very sceptical. I had five kids. I started with nothing. I could bring tears to your eyes, even the tears to the eyes of Gary Cooper is here in my background. But we have five kids, but we educated them all. I sent them to private school and gave them a good start. But we worked for it. And in fact, since my wife was a full-time mother, after a very early start, I was a single breadwinner. And we went without things. We only had what we could afford. Couldn't afford it, went without it. But by working bloody hard, being successful, we achieved it. And everybody can do that. If they, how much do they want it? But we read sometimes that in the Liverpool area, they say there are sometimes families where three generations haven't done a day's work in their life. They've been on benefits for three generations. So before these people stand up and catching on TV and pontificating about this and that and the other, let's look at the facts. Let's look at the figures behind the facts. Because I believe that there is an awful lot of fraud going on, an awful lot of bad spending, because, of course, a lot of women don't know now how to run a house, a family, or a kitchen. Don't know how to shop properly or cook properly. The biggest scandal to come out this week is Kids Company. Government gave them 46, they have been given 46 million quid from successive governments. They've been complete fraud, completely wasted. Charities. And I'm afraid, as I said before, what defines poverty? I think what we want more is people working. So this government is getting people back to work, off benefits, making them earn their bread instead of being workers instead of beggars, and slowly the country is coming right. But people will suffer, people will have pain. But nobody, you come into this world with nothing. God gave everybody one mouth and two hands to feed it. Unfortunately, those with the biggest mouths have got the shortest arms and the smallest hands. So, how's that for controversy? But it's what I think and what other people think, but don't say. But I've said it. If you can't afford it, go without and buy a cheaper one.
KB finishing up. Once again, we've got another chance for lucky listeners of Radio Yorkshire, 72,000.
Yeah, which game is this one for?
Now, this game is for the Cardiff game, which is next Tuesday.
Well, great. So, Cardiff, eh? Capital of Wales. Another foreign-owned organisation that haven't particularly covered themselves in glory. So, Yorkshire versus Wales. Yorkshire population is bigger than Wales. They've got autonomy. Why haven't the Yorkshire Tykes? There are 10 people, 10 lucky people. Watch the game in luxury. By the way, even if you're on benefits, you can compete for this one. That'd give you incentive to work, and so coming on a regular basis. Well, I've said enough, Darren. Off you go.
Thanks very much, KB. If you want to win the VIP matchday experience at Elland Road, in our private box, of course, for Tuesday night's game on the 3rd against Cardiff, 7:45 kickoff, which you get a three-course meal, matchday programme, padded match seat, and if it's a bit chilly, there's a lovely blanket as well. To enter, all you need to do is answer this question. At which Yorkshire club has Neil Redfern recently been appointed? Is it A, Sheffield Wednesday, B, Rotherham United, or is it C, Huddersfield Town? If you think you know, then text YORKS, that's YORKS, and your answer A, B or C to 84383. Your texts are £1 plus your standard message rate. Entries to this competition close on the 1st of November 2015. The winners will be chosen shortly after that, and all the T's and C's can be found at RadioYorkshire.co.uk. tv.yorkshire.uk. KB, once again, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much, and good luck, everybody. Hope you're one of the 10. If you're not, try again.